Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Anybody have any response from yesterday? Anybody remember what we talked about yesterday? No, that wasn't yesterday. There's a lot of ifs. You mean chapter 3:1?
3:1, I bet that's an ice.
In view of the fact that you're risen with Christ.
Yeah, my response was, I started hearing, you know, as my mind was playing some of this stuff back, it was like, wait a minute, those are rules on the laws and regulations. That's why I wanted to make it. That's why I look at this. And it's always the same thing. It's not something to do, it's a view of the fact.
Well, it is. It's the only thing that it's to do is don't be deceived. The place where the deception works most pristinely is the place where you're closest to someone, and that's in marriage. The moment let's wait for whoever's going around. We'll have a seminar tomorrow morning on making coffee. Oh, man. It may take me a second here. The most pristine parable of the mystery of God is revealed in marriage, because that is the type of the purpose of time and space. In the type, the woman is the bride, Israel, the type, the church, and the husband is Christ. Now, every single thing in your interpersonal relationship with your wife or with your husband is an enemy of that. Because even bad marriages have more vulnerability than they've ever experienced before. And so the exhortation for the husband, he is the head, not because he's going to be a domineering idiot, which won't get him very far anyway, but because he is the type. And so in Ephesians it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Elsewhere it says, husbands, love your wives according to knowledge. Those are the first two prerequisites. And that's why it's so critical in the New Testament, in Paul's letters with regard to marriage. Both are predicated on the idea that both are believers. Both believe the same thing. Both know that the marriage is the pristine type of the mystery of God. Now, if one of them doesn't know it, then all bets are off. That's why it says, if the husband has an unbelieving wife and she wants to stay, let her stay. But you don't change your being. And if the wife has an unbelieving husband, let him stay. But the wife doesn't change her faith. She doesn't sell out for the sake of the marriage. And we've seen that happen numerous times. And all the issues of the wife submitting to her husband are on the predicate that they both see the mystery. So in Colossians, where we are now, it's Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit, or revealed in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. No, it's because it's the natural order if you're not in that. It's the natural result if you're not in that order. That was especially strange for you. And others. Who have also... Anybody in this room been married more than once? Harry's only twice. Anybody else been married, multiple marriages? That's pretty unusual.
Where's Rex when you need him?
Where's Rex? Where's my friend, Fast Eddie Haynes? He's only been married 9 times, 7 times to the same woman. Do you understand for a minute why it has been so difficult for people to get married here? Because that's the most important thing in terms of maintaining that type, that mystery. Now, for a long, long time, Gary believed that Judy and I were twins and that he married Ole. Because according to God, Gary was not a believing husband. You understand that? I know that's going to upset you, but I did it on purpose.
I'm really hurt, though.
But do you understand? You weren't believing according to the mystery. You were believing according to Babylon. So what happened in the marriage was that I kind of suspect that Brian is in the same position.
Let's hear what you're going to say.
For the purposes. No, I know, no matter what, it appears that Angela understands and knows and sees the mystery of God, what it is in marriage. She may forget periodically. We had this phenomenon here for years where it seemed like the women always believed first. And I'm not sure why, or I'm not sure if that may be always the case. Who knows? But when I use the word believe, I'm not talking about the universal belief, i.e., does Christ exist, or have I accepted him as my personal savior, or some other horse hockey. I'm talking about believing the fullness of the gospel and seeing the mystery of God in the male and female relationship. Gary was convinced that once Judy married him, she was going to change and she was going to start obeying him.
I didn't know she wasn't obedient until I married her. She had you fooled.
Or else she either had you fooled or you were blinded by your need.
There was some blinding people.
And so what happens? Most marriages, people get married on the basis of need. They believe that the other person will fulfill a void in their life. In fact, that's probably the common reason and common thing that the reason people get married. And so one or the other or both are eating off the other's flesh, their happiness, their position in life, their manliness or their womanliness or whatever it is dependent on how the other person responds to them. And if the person doesn't respond the way the other person thinks they should, then they're starving to death because they have no meal on the other person's flesh. Do you understand? That's why here a marriage cannot be based on need. It must be based on the mystery of God. Somebody's deep in thought about something. Share it. I feel a spiritual black hole coming. No, go ahead. Say what's there.
Well, I'm remembering my own situation, and I'm thinking that it's not unique. That, you know how psychologists say that men want to marry their mother and women want to marry their father. I mean, you're looking for something in the other person. And if you've got a situation where a man is supposed to be the type of Christ, but is really just a little boy who's lost and frightened and has no idea what's going on, and the list goes on, it's just pure disaster.
In the same token, if you have a woman who is extremely needy and needs that security of that marriage, it's also going to fail. It may last, but in truth, it's failed because it's just acting.
And I was thinking about how we talked in the past how this is a nation of
divorce.
Oh, well, but it's also it's a nation of children. There's no people don't grow up to be adults
because they're spending all their time nurturing their inner child. Is there anyone that disagrees with the predicate that we've established? You know, the divorce rate in the church in America is the same as the divorce rate in the general population. That's kind of sad. Because the people in the church were getting married for the same reasons as the people in the world. To fulfill themselves. In other words, they were getting married because they were starving. And so, once they've eaten up the other person, I'm not talking sexually, but once they've eaten the flesh of the other party or both, then there's nothing left to do but find something else to eat. So when it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord, then that strange contrast, it says, wives, if you have an unbelieving husband, let him stay. So, and vice versa, if the husband has an unbelieving wife and she desires to stay, let her stay. So even in those two phrases, it's like you know... that something else is going on in the scriptures, because the marriage isn't the thing that is important. The type is the thing that is important. You know, let me pick on Wade and Dana for a minute. Wade, for most of his life, has been like this ravenous little dog that had to have something to eat. And he tried all kinds of stuff. And he finally grew up and started eating the right food. And so the instant that he told me he wanted to marry Dana, I said, great, because I knew enough about Dana to know that she wasn't getting married for the wrong reasons, that she was a believing wife, or would be, and now she is, and he was a believing husband. They didn't get married because they were dead or they needed each other so badly they'd be lost without each other. If you get married on the basis of need, then unless God intervenes and does some great miracle, the marriage is going to be disastrous. You know, I believe that the same situation with Dana and Wade is true with Brian and Angela. Brian forgets every now and then, but I still think, and if they were not married and wanted to get married today, I'd still, quote unquote, bless the marriage. But this, to me, has been the most important thing that I can do, that I do, is to okay a marriage. I don't care if you get married. That's not the point. But if it becomes a body function, as it is now for Wade and Dana, then it has to at least start with the type. You know, had we been a body, an organization like we are now, when Gary and Judy got married, I would have asked them to wait. I probably would have also asked John and Joysanna to wait. Now, it seems to have turned out all right. It's not like I'm not like... That's not the issue. The issue was, in the early years, Joysanna was terribly bored. I'm not telling any stories out of school, am I? Okay. And Gary and Judy were both frustrated, and John was just sort of living in his head. But God did a miracle in John and Joysanna. Now I can't tell you how proud I am of them, because they live the mystery. And the same with Judy and Gary. It's getting there anyway. Because can you see, though, just think of the danger in a marriage. It's the person that you have to be most vulnerable to, and yet it's the person you least want to be vulnerable to, because you're afraid you'll say something that will set them off. And besides that, they remember everything. So they've got a whole armory of weapons just waiting for the right time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I have a total confidence that in body, that Dana and Wade's marriage will be exactly what it should be. Because I believe that Wade will love Dana as Christ loved the church, according to knowledge. And I believe that Dana will submit herself unto Wade as unto the Lord, because the mystery will be... Now, there'll be all kinds of problems. But if there is, then you have a place to go. You have a place to work it out. You have a venue of people who you know love you and care for you, who I believe whose opinion you trust. And so you go to the covering. The only time you ever go to the covering is when you don't know what to do. You never go there for advice. And if anybody comes to me, the married people, it's always, I just say the same damn thing I say always. You talk about the mystery of Christ and who you are in Christ. Not about how-tos or you shoulds or... But this is, you know, this week is why we exist. The parties are really, I hope and pray, our Bible studies in the flesh. It's an opportunity for those of us who aren't married to see the mystery being worked out and then fulfilled on the eighth day of the feast. Now, the one thing that you must remember on the seventh day of the feast, if we were observant, good Christians, we would read and understand the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vain.
I was thinking about the party we had. We had a version of the dating game, and all kinds of questions were asked.
When? For the first. I'm sorry, I missed that.
But yeah, you could have been the star.
I was on the dating game.
The way it worked out was everybody just watching everybody totally fail at knowing the other person, especially John and Rosanna, and especially Wade and Dana.
But not Kevin and Angela.
They got the first one. They got so right.
Did they win a prize?
Yeah, they got all the desserts I could eat.
But I'm not going to talk. Husbands, love your wives according to knowledge. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit yourself unto the husband as unto the Lord. In other words, you see him as Christ. And this is a great mystery.
You know, what you said a while ago, that is totally true in line of the mystery. But if you try and make it true outside of the mystery, it just causes trouble.
Oh, it'll just be bitterness.
And it means nothing.
Yeah, it's meaningless. It's just two Gentiles screwing their lives up.
Yeah. Or two Gentiles trying to get it right and being totally disappointed because nothing works.
Because, and again, remember, I've always said, outside of here, I've never seen a successful marriage. Oh, then everybody comes to me. Oh, well, you haven't met my friend so-and-so. They have a really successful marriage. Well, how do you know? How much time do you spend with them? No, they're really good actors. Because it's a given. It's a spiritual certainty that unless the marriage is lived according to the mystery, it won't be successful by anyone's standards except those that are looking at them from afar. But here, the mystery of everything is prophecy and vulnerability. It's the same, and in that relationship, in Wade and Dana's marriage, in their vulnerability and their openness, and they're prophesying, saying what's there, without fear. Now, of course, if you say what's there with regard to, you're gonna end up saying, if you're vulnerable, you'll end up saying, "Thank God I was at the store the other day and I saw this really hot guy, and I had a thought, or several." Huh? Oh, no, that's not Wade. And Wade is going to do the same thing, except it's not a really hot something or other woman, or a movie, or a whatever it is. You've got to be able to say that. Otherwise, your marriage will fail. You will lose the mystery. And there will be openness and forgiveness. There will be hurt feelings. But you've got to work through that, because otherwise you will be just another hypocrite acting like you love each other. And the forgiveness has to be total 24 hours a day. In other words, and you have to forgive from the heart, no matter how hurtful whatever Wade says to you is. You know he has to say it, but you know that if it's that hurtful to you, It must be something that was necessary for you to see of your own insecurity. Now, that same vulnerability is what is a must for the body. Otherwise, the wife submitting to her husband is meaningless. Do you understand this scripture is written to groups of people like us? It's not written to the world, and it's not written to Babylon. It's not a history book. It's not a geography book. It's not a how-to book. It's a book of the revelation of Jesus Christ and His bride. The most dangerous thing that you can do is to quote the Bible to justify your position. Gary. Well, wait a minute. You better say, I'm not doing it now. I know you too well, huh? Yes, I did. Okay, that's good. Because there is nothing that will deaden your marriage and deaden your relationship with God more than quoting the Bible to justify your stupidity and position and lack of vulnerability and lack of laying down your life and all the other stuff.
The problem with it is it just doesn't work.
You'd still be doing with it if it worked.
There's already that.
Have you ever read any of these how-to marriage books? I've read one, two or three. I've read more than one over the years when we were about to have a marriage. It was like how to build a kitchen cabinet, you know. First, you got to do this, then you got to do that, then you got to do this. And it was all how-tos. And there's probably 5,000 how-to have a marriage books. That proves that none of them worked. There's no, I promise you, Wade, and promise you, Dana, that no one in the world knows how to be married. If you have children, no one in the world knows how to be a parent. No one knows how to be a child. That's why we've made up all these conspiratorial alliances to define success. But they only create hypocrisy. So my exhortation to you in getting ready for Saturday night is, and tonight in throwing that methrog, is the only two issues that you must remember. What the mystery is, what we're really about, and you'll forget, and you'll go off in some tangent, convinced you made the most despicable mistake you've ever made in your life. You will hate Wade with a perfect hatred, because I know Wade. But by the acts of vulnerability and saying what's there and forgiveness, your marriage will be helpful to this body, and that's why you're getting married. Anybody have any response? That's enough. Everybody understand? Anybody want to add or subtract?
What you just said hit me as being true. When you said nobody knows how to be a husband or wife, it is being true about everything.
You certainly don't know how to be a person.
Not do anything. Not be a good Christian.
No. That's why his right arm has gotten him the victory. He hadn't gotten us the victory. We lost. But the same in everything I just said with regard to Wade and Dana's marriage is equally true for each one of us with regard to our vulnerability in the body and our prophesying in the body and forgiving in the body. You know, the cliche is true that a good marriage is as close to heaven as you can get on earth. And a bad marriage is as close to hell as you can get on earth. And the average marriage is just the standard old-fashioned Gentile hypocrisy. Would I have any response?
Marriage, like in every other part of the gospel, says basically the same thing, that without repentance and denial of self, you're just some guy or girl trying to make something work, and it's not going to work.
Well, there's just truces.
Yeah.
There's no peace, there's truces. Yeah. Because everybody keeps an armory full of weapons. Boy, is it full. Well, every once in a while, we have a Bosnia. I'm really overjoyed for both of you. I look forward to being with you and watching the marriage be unfolding. And I know that it's the right thing to do. Anybody else have any comments?
I have two books. They start out, this is the last book on losing weight you'll ever need. And it's like about as ridiculous as saying, hey, this is the last time you'll ever have to lay down your life. Come on. Do it just once.
Anything touch you, Mr. Brian?
Well, I'm just... really happy with the way that he behaved. Publicly said, this really, I feel like the same way I felt when I was during this week.
Amen. Jim, any thoughts? Kevin, as an old married man, give us some advice.
Your advice.
Yes, you did. I heard it.
You're right.
Angela and I were in counseling after my first affair. She was told she could never bring it up again. She could never speak of it. And what was left unspoken was what ultimately killed marriage.
Yeah,
that's the advice you get from counselors in the world. You set up truces.
Sure.
Agreement never to speak of something again.
That's real smart. That's a guarantee of failure. Harry, any words of wisdom?
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking that when I got married both times, I thought, I mean, I didn't think it at the time, but the way I see it now is, I everything told me, and I believe, that I was supposed to be in the position of the Father, talking now about the Trinity, that I was supposed to fulfill the role of the Father rather than the role of the Son. I thought I was supposed to go out into the world and go into business and get married and do all these things and be, you know, the ultimate authority, the president of the country, you know. And that's not me. I can't do that. There are some people that can kind of fake that, but I can't even fake that.
Well, it's not what you're supposed to do anyway. It's the type is Christ,
right.
Not God.
But that's what I was trying to do, was to be, well, my own covering, really.
That's real important. I'm glad you said that. It's husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, not as God loved the church. Christ loved the church by risking everything, even his very manhood.
That is an excellent distinction, because a lot of men think, oh, I'm God now, I got my girl here, I can boss around.
No, because they don't know the mystery of emptying himself. That's how Christ loved the church. He emptied himself to the Father at every juncture. And just as Christ's life was not his business, so the husband's life isn't his business. You have the mind of Christ means you constantly empty yourself. And I promise you that through their experience and the experiences of the married couples here, I promise you, if you're not vulnerable in your marriage, you'll never be vulnerable to the body. Because how could you say that? How could you talk about that to all these people? Well, you don't know, you're one. And I've said this to everybody, all the wives. If he does anything to hurt you, he will be my worst enemy. You understand?
Wade, got it?
Yeah. Wade understands. Except God, which is the main one.
Yeah, you better be in touch too.
Well, all he has to do is stay vulnerable, stay empty, and it will be a perfect channel. The same way, I mean, it's not something that he should fear. He should fear not being in that position. Hopefully I will be back and heading a Bible study pretty soon. I'll come and steal both the bride and the groom. Anybody else? You too. And your little dog too. Huh? Yeah. Please hear me. This is just live this mystery this week for the rest of it. Now tonight, when both of you throw that paradise apple at the base of the altar, well, there's all your judgments about what marriage should be as part of that, what it should look like.